From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Yesterday, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brought part one of a message entitled A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It. He'll bring part two of that message in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning comes from Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Rich were the blessings of this day if all of us were filled with the Holy Ghost. The consequences of this sacred filling of the soul, it would be impossible to overestimate. Life, comfort, light, purity, power, peace, and many other precious blessings are inseparable from the Spirit's benign presence. As sacred oil, He anoints the head of the believer, sets him apart to the priesthood of saints, and gives him grace to execute his office aright. As the only true purifying water, He cleanses us from the power of sin, and sanctifies us unto holiness, working in us to will and to do of the Lord's good pleasure. As the light, He manifested to us at first our lost estate, and now He reveals the Lord Jesus to us and in us, and guides us in the way of righteousness. Enlightened by His pure celestial ray, we are no more darkness, but light in the Lord. As fire, He both purges us from dross, and sets our consecrated nature on a blaze. He is the sacrificial flame by which we are enabled to offer our whole souls as a living sacrifice unto God. As heavenly dew, He removes our barrenness and fertilizes our lives. Oh, that He would drop from above upon us at this early hour! Such morning dew would be a sweet commencement for the day. As the dove, with wings of peaceful love, He broods over His church and over the souls of believers, and as a comforter, He dispels the cares and doubts which mar the peace of His beloved. He descends upon the chosen as upon the Lord in Jordan, and bears witness to their sonship by working in them a filial spirit by which they cry, Abba, Father. As the wind, He brings the breath of life to men. Blowing where He listeth, He performs the quickening operations by which the spiritual creation is animated and sustained. Would to God that we might feel His presence this day and every day.
Thank you.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Because of his disobedience in striking the rock a second time, Moses forfeited the privilege of entering Canaan and died on its borders. Now it fell to Joshua to lead the people into the land and to take it by conquest. From this historical account, Dr. Cairns is extracting vital lessons for present-day believers in facing the spiritual battles that accompany the Christian life. This opening message of the series is entitled A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua needed to be prepared, spiritually as well as militarily, for the battles that lay ahead. In the opening chapter of the book, God provided him with the inspiration he needed and instructed him to remember a number of important truths. First of all, Joshua was to remember who it was that had commissioned him for the fight. Then he was to maintain his focus on both the immediate and the ultimate objectives. Now to continue this message, A Vision of Victory and How to Attain It, here is Dr. Cairns.
We have somehow or other taken the fact that God has placed in the church pastors and teachers and preachers on a full-time basis in the sense that they have no other earthly employment. We have taken that to speak about full-time service, to give the impression that ordinary Christian living is part-time service. Let me tell you, the Word of God knows nothing about part-time Christian service. It matters not where you labor. It matters not what your job is. It matters not your age or your occupation. If you are a Christian, you have entered upon a spiritual warfare. You have entered upon a great commission from God that demands total commitment. And in every way, you must act as one who always remembers whose servant he is. If you keep this in mind, it will be a source of strength to you. If you keep it in mind, it will encourage you always, whatever the circumstances, to keep your honor unstained. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me." Now, he is not denying that there was any act of will on their part in becoming his disciples. That is not the force of the words. What he means is, the choice did not originate with you, nor could you become my servants simply by an act of your own will. There are far too many pulpits occupied by people who ought not to be there, who are seeking to make themselves what God has never made them. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you." Here is the source of our confidence, and here is what gives strength to our character. Here is what gives us true, sterling Christian character, remembering whose servant we are. The Apostle Paul never forgot this in his own life. To him it was a matter of outstanding grace that God would take such a one as he and give him a place in the service of God. I can understand the apostle. Day by day as I seek the Lord, very, very frequently my mind comes back to this, that God in his sovereignty saved this wretched, guilty, rotten, and hell-deserving sinner and gave him a place in serving the King of Kings. That's true of every Christian serving the Lord where the Lord has placed him. A place in the service of the Savior. Paul, as I say, was always awed by that grace. He said to the Corinthians, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." What does that mean? He said, it is as though God did beseech you by us. We are so desirous of getting on to the rest of that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:20 when we read it. "We beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." We are usually so desirous of getting on to the great exhortation that we fail to get the real force of this part of the verse. Can you imagine what Paul is saying here? He's saying, this is my commission. God has so commissioned me that it's as if God were speaking to you when I bring you the gospel. He could never forget that. That's why he told a young preacher by the name of Timothy, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "In order that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Christian, as God would stir your mind and heart to a vision of victory and how to obtain it, he says, number one, remember who commissioned you. And secondly, remember your immediate and your ultimate objectives. Verses 3 and 4. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." Now notice in verse 3, there is the idea of the step-by-step progression through the land, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun. Notice now, he's moving from step by step to a mighty, general, expansive description of the ultimate aim of Israel's campaign. The ultimate goal was the conquest of the land. Never lose sight of the end, aim, and objective. But you don't reach the ultimate goal in one step. There are many steps. Some of them up high hills, some of them down deep valleys, some of them over rugged terrain, some of them over easy pasture, some of them uncontested, some of them hotly contested. But as you keep your aim and your eye upon the ultimate goal, you must also watch every step. To me there the message is very clear. Joshua was not to compromise the ultimate by inattention to the immediate. Now think that through. He was not to compromise the ultimate by inattention to the immediate. Many a man, aye indeed many a church, have sacrificed ultimate victory on the altar of immediate ease or fleshly gratification. You think of Esau. Esau sold his birthright. Why? Because in a moment of hunger, he lost sight of the ultimate and he sold it for a mess of pottage. You think of Reuben, the son of Jacob. He was the firstborn, the outgoing of Jacob's strength. But he sold his right because of an instant of lust, of wicked immorality, which cursed him and his memory for the rest of his life. You think of Israel's first king, King Saul, he did the same thing. First he sold his right to the throne by panic, by weakness. Then in the battle of Michmash, he jeopardized the success of the entire battle because, as many carnal people do, he rushed in a fit of misdirected religious zeal. By that I mean, carnal people very often think they can make up for their sins and their shortcomings by impressing God with inordinate and stupid religious zeal. And in this misdirected religious zeal, he put a ban on all food for the army. Saul knew better than that. Saul knew that an army can't fight on an empty stomach. And that day's victory was turned to the verge of defeat because of Saul's folly. Now many a Christian does the same thing. There are Christians who, first of all, feel to make sure to keep themselves clear of the sins that are going to disable them from long-term success in the work of God. I don't know if Bob Jones University keeps the record still available, but if they do, go get it. If they don't, go to the library and listen to it. I'm not going to try and tell the story, but the founder of the university it tells a most riveting story. of a young Christian who sacrificed the ultimate on the altar of the immediate. I think of young men of great talent, great skill, great promise. By one misstep, they sell it all. They sell it all. By the lust and the wickedness and the sin and the uncleanness and the immorality, they sell it all. Many a Christian's doing the same thing, taking the immediate and letting it rule the ultimate. But then there's another way in which they do it. They sell the ultimate by taking the immediate so seriously. They take every little minor thing and they build it up into a major thing. There are no mountains and no molehills. In relation, everything's a mountain. They take minors and they so major upon them that they divert their own attention. They divert the attention of the entire military campaign of spiritual warfare from the ultimate victory into the boglands of needless dispute and side issues. Here is what we have got to remember. You have two things before you. You have the ultimate aim. You have the immediate objective. And one must lead to the other. And never lose sight of it. In Acts chapter 6, you have an example of a church that was diverted from its ultimate aim. Over what? People complaining the order in which they were being served at the church suppers. Can you imagine it? A revival was grinding to a halt. The apostles were dragged into the morass of dispute because people were arguing about who would get their dinner first. And this is crazy. This is wickedness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.